Sunday, and then Memorial Day to end the whole holiday weekend. We really do get a nice day. Some sunshine, no rain showers on Monday, and a high near 80. We have 70 right now in downtown Butler. And of course, we will take a look at your weather forecast as we go throughout the afternoon. Your news time, just about 12:30. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Tier Bank studios. Next Tier Bank, your hometown community bank. Dave Mularkey is coming up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey.
Afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us as we roll into the, well, the unofficial start of summer. I mean, technically, it's still going to be spring for about three more weeks, but Memorial Day weekend, the kickoff of summer, and here we are, noontime on Friday. We're rolling. It's City Hall Day today, and we're going to be talking with the mayor of the city of Butler. Mayor Ben Smith is here. Mayor, good to see you, as always.
Thanks. Good to be here.
And a member of Butler City Council, Jeff Smith, is here, too. Jeff, good to see you.
You, too. Thanks.
A little bit later on the program today, we're going to be chatting. We're going to get an update on that neighborhood drug watch program that was initiated here in the city of Butler a year or so ago. Kathy Klein's going to be here. She was one of the folks who spearheaded the program. And we're also scheduled to chat with the City Police Chief Bob O'Neill. That's a little bit later on the program today. City Hall, because City Council met last night and seemed to take care of quite a long list of items. You had a pretty busy agenda there, Mayor. One thing, and I don't know, Councilman Jeff Smith may be able to talk about this. The city is looking for people to serve on some sort of a census committee. Jeff, what's that all about?
Yeah, they're starting to, we had a fellow come in from the census last month just to give us an overview of it. There's going to be a really big push this year or next year to get a good count for the census.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why the city's really interested in helping to make it be as effective as possible is that every uncounted person can cost the city in terms of funding as much as $2,100.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in the last census, the city of Butler was probably the most undercounted municipality in Butler County. So, you know, we're trying to work with them to ensure that we get as good a count as possible. And the biggest part of that is just education. And so by creating this local committee comprised of council, municipal leaders, you know, we're hoping to get the word out, assure people that, yeah, this is a good thing, and no, you don't have to worry about it. It'll in the long run, for the next 10 years at least, benefit the city financially.
It seems like I have nothing to do with the census. I've never been involved with it other than, you know, sending in my forms every 10 years. I don't know, Mayor. It seems like such a simple thing to me. You know, okay, you take a census, you got the number of people. What's the big deal?
Yeah, I think you're right. It seems pretty simple on the face. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it as far as the reasons people don't fill it out. But when we spoke to the representative from the census, he said, you know, one of the biggest reasons people don't fill out the census is they're worried that their information's going to be shared or somebody's going to know something. And it doesn't necessarily mean they're doing anything nefarious. It's just that, mm-hmm. you know, with privacy concerns, with, you know, Google and Amazon and Apple and everybody else, you know, yep. always having, everybody's just kind of worried about, well, what are you going to do with my information? And that's the biggest thing, is that like, this information is you know, supposed to, there's many safeguards in place to make sure that it's safe and that, you know, no one's coming after you just because you fill out the census. No one's going to know any more about you as an individual necessarily. They're just trying to literally get a count of how many people are alive, first of all, and where they reside, or not even where that specific person resides, but in Butler City, there are X amount of people, is really good for the for everybody to know. And I mean, it's also constitutionally mandated that we do it. But aside from that, it's just it's important to know what our population's like and what it's what the makeup is.
So, how does the city lose money, Jeff? If I mean, the amount of grant money we get, for example, that's dependent on the population that we have in the city.
When the federal government is allocating funds, you know, they can tend to allocate proportionally based on the number of people that live in an area, mm-hmm. whether it's mm-hmm. the state of Pennsylvania, Butler County, Butler City. So, and they've estimated that it's about $2,000, $2,100. Is what you lose per person based on that formula. So the more people we have, the greater the percentage would be that Butler would receive, and the state and the county.
I haven't seen anything official from the Census Bureau yet. I know there are representatives that have been going around to municipal meetings, township meetings, borough meetings, county commissioners, and they had a visit. You had a visit at City Council about a couple of weeks ago mm-hmm. by a representative of the census. Is it going to be the same as previous years? Will you get something in the mail?
I think there are a few different ways that you're going to be able to do it. I mean, you'll get something in the mail, and you can complete that either by mail or, for the first time ever, they're going to be doing it online as well.
Uh-huh.
So people can submit things online. It's just as easy as that. And of course, you know, if by a certain point you haven't turned in your information, the census workers that they've hired will come around and knock on your door and remind you. And, mm-hmm. You know, so there's multiple different ways that you can submit it. But the thing they kind of stressed is that it's easy. It's going to be easier this year than ever before to do it. I'm sure most people have at this point, the statistics say most people have a smartphone. It's very easy to do it from your phone. And, it should be nice and clean, and it's not complicated. It's just literally saying that, you know, you're a little bit of information, pass it along.
Far cry from the old days. Ever see, I've been looking into genealogy and, you know, putting together a family tree and that sort of thing. You can go on places like Ancestry.com, some of these websites, and look at census reports from, you know, 1930, 1920, 1940. It's just, you know, there it is. Address, name on a line, people yeah. that lived in the house, that's it.
Right, you know? Right. It's really interesting to me, and we're kind of off topic, but with Ancestry.com and stuff like that, a lot of that is run by the Church of Latter-day Saints, which I didn't realize until a few years ago, just because their particular theology is very... you know, genealogy is very important to them mm-hmm. for multiple reasons. And, you know, a lot of the, like, Ancestry.com, I don't know that they have a direct hand in that site particularly, but a lot of the information comes from the Church of Latter-day Saints. And it's just really interesting to me that a religious sect is gathering that much of, and quite frankly, that's pretty helpful to those of us who want to know more about our past and
very much
our ancestors.
So I don't mean to get off topic either, and I'm guilty of that. But so the city is looking for people who might want to serve on this census committee, Jeff. Is that the deal?
Yes, and it's going to be, you know, everything from community leaders, church leaders, business leaders, different organizations, and it's not going to be a huge time commitment. I mean, for right now, it's. And we'll probably pass the formal resolution at our next meeting. This group meets like quarterly just to get updates. Because really, from now through the end of this year, and it's the plan that the census group has put together is just, it's mind-boggling, you're right, compared to the old days. But like from now through January, it's really just in the promotion phase, just so people know, hey, it's coming, get ready for it. And then... next year, probably around February, they're going to start motivating people to do it so that when I think census day is like April 1st or something, when it really kicks off, they're hoping everybody will be aware of it. So, yeah, if there's people that are interested in being part of this, you know, they can contact City Building, let me know, let Councilman Waters know, and we'll be putting some of this information together.
There was also a report last night at council meeting from the city's code enforcement officer, John Evans, about the wrap-up of a five-year collaboration involving the city, Butler Township, and PennDOT with the traffic signal syncing, I guess, is the proper terminology at major intersections throughout the region.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that's been a big project, and I've talked with John Evans, code enforcement officer, about that numerous times. And, you know, I don't pretend to know everything about, you know, traffic signals and that kind of stuff, but he's very knowledgeable. And just the work that's, you know, been done, it sounds like it's an easy thing, right? You're syncing up the traffic signals so that traffic flows better. But, of course, you have studies and everything else, but as part of that, you also have infrastructure and the panels and the individual light poles that hold the traffic signals have to be updated, and the actual poles themselves sometimes are out of date and deteriorating. So there's a lot more that goes into it than just making sure the timing's right. But of course, that's, you know, that's been a huge undertaking. He's done a great job on that, and lots of collaboration as well.
And in the city of Butler, we have the push button things for if you want the walk light to come on, you know. Mm-hmm. So those all had to be replaced and everything. So quite a bit of work, actually.
Yeah, it's been a long process, but it seems like it's wrapped up pretty well now.
So the next time you're driving through town and you feel you're really lucky because you hit every green light in a row, just think of John Evans.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay if you're going up and down Main Street, but I'll tell you what. If you want to cross Main Street, you can wait quite a while. I had some calls earlier this week or last week from people who said sometimes it seems like you sit there and wait forever when you're just trying to get across Main Street.
It does, and I don't disagree with that. I actually asked John and some others whenever I maybe right before I came into office or when I came into office, you know, is because our lights work that everybody, all the traffic goes in the different directions, and then all four corners of the intersection can walk at once.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I said, is that really, you know, it seems like other cities have it so that it alternates and people can walk more often and stuff like that. And he said there's studies and actual data to show that creates faster changes and creates it's actually faster and more efficient for cars to be able to move through and people be able to move through when it works like the way we have it. Now, I'm not saying that our system's perfect, but there's been a lot of collaboration with PennDOT and big government entities that have done these massive studies and said, you know, this is the way that things are most efficient, and that's the way the city has been able to operate.
Well, I'm not a guy that picks on or likes to pick on PennDOT. I think, generally speaking, they do a pretty good job, but you wonder when the intersection that I point to here in our area is at the entrance to Moraine Point Shopping Plaza out there, Newcastle Road 422, mm-hmm. going into Moraine Point, that all comes together. That has to be one of the busiest intersections in the county, and it works perfectly. Yep. They got all kind of sensors in there, and if you know the sequence of lights changes, if there's not a whole lot of traffic one way or the other. Sometimes I look at the amount of cars and trucks going through there, and it astonishes me.
Yeah.
And you don't have to wait very long.
Right.
Oh, well. I guess that takes a lot of those automatic sensors we don't have.
It is amazing that, you know, it's not just like lights are all just, I mean, some of them are still, but lights aren't just on a timer. They're, you know, there's weight sensitive plates under the road that detect when cars are there. There's sensors on the poles that can detect motion and stuff like that. So it's a pretty smart system, even when it seems to be kind of dumb. It works well.
And hats off to PennDOT, by the way. They patched the holes on North Main Street at the bottom of North Main Street.
Yeah.
Well, Looks like temporary patches, but at least we don't have those holes there anymore. Hey, and some of the utility work that's been done last fall and through the winter, you know, where they had to dig up a section of a street, I've noticed that those final repairs are being made here and there now. They put temporary patch in that always settles a little bit, and but the utility companies seem to be going around and fixing a lot of those. They're a lot smoother. At least I've noticed three or four of them that have been given the final repairs here over the past few weeks.
The city, you know, we sometimes have to remind utility companies of different places that need patched up. But we've talked about this before, Dave. It's also kind of it's frustrating for me and, of course, the Straits Department and everything when there's a road that's maintained by another entity besides the city, which is usually the state, that's not in the best condition. And, of course, it looks like it's our problem. I don't want to sound dismissive. It looks like it's our problem because it's in the city, but in reality, we couldn't touch that road if we wanted to. So, but things do get done. It's just not always on the timing we would all like.
And some things like that, you do have to wait for the settling to take place before you put in the final patch, because it just that's the way it works. A quick break. Back to talk more with the mayor and with the Councilman Jeff Smith in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is Schnoor's Greenhouse. Schnoor's Greenhouse since 1889, family-owned and operated. By the way, you heard that date correctly. It's not 1989, 1889. They are celebrating 130 years of business. Incredible. You don't stay in business that long unless you offer friendly service and a knowledgeable staff, and that's certainly what they have at Schnoor's. Located off Herman Road, look for Schnoor Road near the RC Men's Club. At Schnoor's, they specialize in annuals. They have a beautiful selection of hanging baskets, vegetable plants, tremendous selection. They have gift cards, too. Butler's longtime trusted greenhouse, Schnoor's Greenhouse. Open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday 8 to 5, Sunday 11 to 5. Since 1889, it's been the place to grow. Schnoor's Greenhouse.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about prearrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Welcome back. It's City Hall on today's edition of It's Your Turn. Nice to have you with us. Butler City Councilman Jeff Smith is here in the studio along with the mayor of the city of Butler, Ben Smith. City is going to be advertising for a new treasurer, I guess a short-term replacement, because John Grenzi's moving out of the city. Is that the deal on that?
That's correct. You know, they found an opportunity for a house they couldn't pass up, and he'll be moving out of the city. And effective with that, you have to live in the city to be an elected official in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be moving out of the city and resigning because of that in June. And we'll be hiring a replacement, appointing, whatever you want to call it, a replacement that would serve through the end of his term, which is through the end of the year, 2019.
And that person could, if they wanted to, run, I guess, for the position when it comes up for election.
Yeah, it's entirely possible they could do that, yeah.
I mean, there was, if you looked at the election results, and I know you did, there were a large number of write-in votes. You know, nobody had turned in petitions to run in the primary.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a surprisingly large number of write-in votes. So we're waiting to see today or Tuesday, if any one person was able to get 100 write-in votes. If that's the case, then they would be on the ballot in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it could be wide open for anyone.
Yeah. Other items from last night's meeting, Butler City Council. The city is going to be purchasing a pickup truck from the Adams Township Police Department, and it'll serve as one of the vehicles for the police dog to use.
That's correct. Yeah, it's coming out of the canine fund, the funds for that. And we hope to have those canines in place later this summer, if not early fall. Of course, you know, we're dependent on the other entities to get to obtain those dogs and train them. Then, of course, we send our officers for training alongside them.
Mm-hmm.
But the truck is kind of in a situation where it's a fantastic truck, outfitted, you know, with many things that we need, and at a great price. So it's one of those things where we don't necessarily have a dog to put in it tomorrow, but we do have money in the canine fund that's to be used for that, and the truck is available now. And if we wait, the truck probably won't be available, and we'll end up spending, you know, maybe twice as much or more. So it was a good opportunity and a good purchase for the city, for the canine fund specifically, in preparation for those canine units that will be on the force come fall.
Just to bring folks up to date, by the way, if you have questions or comments, you're always welcome to join us. Phone number is 283-2525, 283-2525. The city did have two police dogs, two canine officers. One retired, and then the other one retired, and shortly thereafter died. So
mm-hmm.
We're without any dogs right now.
That's right, yeah. And you know, the donations and contributions from folks in the community have been great to be able to help fund that fund, to help put money in that fund to be able to pay for it. And so all the expenses for the canine units come out of that fund, and it's almost entirely donation driven. So if that's something you're interested in helping support, or just any of the departments in general, but especially that fund, that's a fund that constantly needs donations to remain running. And it's certainly a good program. I mean, our police chief definitely believes in utilizing canine units, and they're just a great asset that really are, you know, it's obviously a different skill set that a dog has that's trained in that than humans can or do. So looking forward to that being added back to the force as soon as possible.
They are becoming more and more prevalent around the country, the use of canine officers or police dogs. You can did you ever watch that live PD stuff on TV? I forget what channel it's on, but it's
I've
on
never every, watched it, but I think you've told me about it.
It's on every Friday night, yeah. And they've always got some sort of a story where they're using a police dog to track some, you know, they stop a car and a perpetrator jumps out and takes off running, and they send the dog after him.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very helpful for, you know, finding scents of things that are not things you want people to have, and also helping to, you know, they have dogs that can be trained to do pretty much anything as far as detecting certain types of elements or people or search and rescue, that kind of thing. So it's versatile, and they're certainly, you know, an invaluable asset.
And I should think a deterrent, too, in many cases.
You would think so.
Yeah. It would be a deterrent for me, I can tell you
that. Me too.
Council last night took action approving a loan from the Butler Downtown's Revolving Loan Fund program. And I guess the council has to give the final okay on these. Is that the way that works, even though it's a Butler Downtown program?
Right, yeah. A few years back, probably 10 years back at this point, Butler Downtown had applied for a loan, and they, you know, the city, of course, was a piece of that, that they then could give out to loan out to businesses or startups or even people just to do projects on their existing properties that mm-hmm. It's a nice low interest loan that they're able to get back the interest though and reloan that interest out, and that's what's happened is that enough interest from those initial loans has come back in that they're able to start reloading it out. And so part of that loan fund they loaned out to the building where Max Brick Oven Pizza is
mm-hmm.
For renovations there, and now to the old Friedman's building downtown. So it's looking like, you know, that's being put to good use. And yeah, and you're right, the decision is ultimately with city council, because it is technically city funds the way it comes in. But it's basically like they're the overseers of that money. They decide who they want to give it to. It's in their discretion. So city council has to approve it, but we pretty much, unless we see an issue, we're going to approve it if the committee in charge of that money recommends that we do so.
And it's a revolving loan fund. So as the money is paid back, then it can be loaned out to somebody else
exactly.
for a project. And hey, it's great for the city because you improve. Well, in this most recent case, we have a vacant building. You know, it used to be a supermarket, the Friedman's on West Brady Street.
Yeah.
It's going to be the new home of Gateway Engineers, and that's terrific. You know, we fill up an existing building. The same thing with the pizza oven there on East Jefferson.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a good thing for sure.
I mentioned, for those of you who don't realize it, Memorial Day is coming up. There's always a parade in downtown Butler, and that means, it's nice to show off the city on Memorial Day morning. Of course, the Main Street will be closed to vehicular traffic for the parade on Monday, and the long-range weather forecast is great for Monday, so should be a great parade, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Get a lot of people downtown. Mm-hmm. It's great to bring people downtown. I just had guests on a week or so ago from the Butler County Family YMCA, and they're gearing up for the Butler Road Race, and that'll be in about a month toward the tail end of June.
Yeah.
That brings thousands and thousands of people downtown.
It does. Not only participants, but people there to cheer on their friends and family.
Mm-hmm. And the post-parade Memorial Day program is going to be downtown this year for the first time in anybody's memory. Previously, it had been in the Northside Cemetery, which is in Butler Township, not in the city. So I'm thinking, I was telling John Cyprian from the Veteran Services Office earlier this week, I think they're going to have a much, much bigger crowd for that Memorial Day program right in Diamond Park, right at the end of the parade, for goodness sake. Everybody's already going to be there.
Right. Yeah, let's hope so. Let's hope it's I'm sure it'll be a good turnout, as it always is, and it's a good time to remember those who have fallen serving their country.
Well, have I missed anything? I tried to cover all the bases from the past meetings of City Council. I don't know. Do I?
The only other thing, when you're talking about this weekend being a big weekend, on Sunday is the bicycle race. Bicycle races are over Memorial Park. I don't know exactly. I believe it's in the morning is when they are. I don't have the exact times, but that's when we're talking about things that are bringing people into town.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't expect it's going to bring thousands of people into town, but if it brings hundreds, that would be a good thing.
So, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's this weekend, and spectators are welcome down in Memorial Park if you want to watch the bicycle races. Yeah. Who knows? That may be something that turns out to be a permanent event every year here in the city, which would be fantastic.
That'd be great, yeah.
Great venue at the far end of Memorial Park. Not a whole lot of traffic there.
Right.
And who knows? We might end up with something like the Tour de France. The Tour de Butler.
Tour de Butler. I like it.
The Tour de Butler.
We'll give you credit for the name if it comes about.
It'll be Dave's Tour de Butler.
My French is horrendous. Yeah. Don't ask me. Gentlemen, nice to see you. And nice of you to stop in here as we start a holiday weekend. Everybody's busy, I know. I've made a couple of phone calls today, and it's amazing. They say, well, she's not here. It's Memorial Day weekend. I said, it's Friday morning. What are you talking about? It seems to be a light day. Everybody kind of, if you're fortunate enough to be able to take the day off, you can make it a super long holiday weekend.
Absolutely.
Maybe you should finish up here early and go play some golf today.
I think that's a capital idea. In fact, I think that's exactly what I'm going to do. Councilman Jeff Smith visiting with us today, and the mayor of the city of Butler, Ben Smith. Nice to have you here, guys.
Thanks.
More to come. Hey, we're going to get an update on the Neighborhood Drug Watch program in the city of Butler. I haven't heard much about that lately. We'll see if it's still going strong. So stick around. We're scheduled to chat with Kathy Klein and with the chief of police here in the city of Butler, Bob O'Neill. Back with more of It's Your Turn here on WISR on a Friday after these words. Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. or maybe Fido or Tabby is not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course, also emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available, also prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South at Thorncrest Drive.
Thinking about remodeling or refinancing your home? Armco Credit Union's new HELOC combines the flexibility of a traditional home equity line of credit with the low fixed rate of a home equity loan. Lock in different amounts, rates, and terms up to 20 years under one convenient loan agreement and monthly payment without the hassle of reapplying as your borrowing needs change. It's never been easier to join, so call or visit us at one of our locations or online at armcocu.com to become a member.
Armco Credit Union is an equal housing lender and federally insured by NCUA.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. What a spectacular day, huh? And for those of you who don't get up early, like I do, I can assure you that it was gorgeous at the crack of dawn this morning. About 5:45 this morning, the birds were singing, the sun was coming up, and it was just as nice then as it is right now. We're going to get an update on the Neighborhood Drug Watch program here in the city of Butler today. Two guests are here to talk about it. Kathy Klein, a former councilwoman, the person who really spearheaded the formation of this Neighborhood Drug Watch. Kathy, good to see you. Nice to have you here today.
Always a pleasure to be here, David.
And it's great to welcome once again into our WISR studio the Chief of Police in the city of Butler, Bob O'Neill. Chief, nice to have you here as well.
Thank you, sir.
So, what's happening? Somebody asked me not too long ago, Kathy Klein, is the Neighborhood Drug Watch program still going strong in the city, is it?
It is, and I think that's one of the reasons I like to come on the show periodically. You know, just it's an opportunity to talk to our community, because sometimes we have a tendency that if we don't see something in the newspaper, you don't hear a lot of chatter in the community, people think it's gone by the wayside, and it's just the opposite. I think that we always have to be raising awareness, making sure that, you know, people stay diligent, because this is certainly something that's not going to happen. It's not going to disappear overnight. So we have to keep after it, and we are. Well, the signs are still up. People are still sending emails into the department, and that's why it's so important that the community work with the police department, because we're there to assist, to help, to be extra ears and eyes for them, because certainly they can't be everywhere.
Do you think, Chief, people get a a sense of complacency? We've had stories within the past month nationwide. The number of fatalities from opioid overdoses is going down. We just had a story this week from the governor that the number of fatal opioid overdoses in Pennsylvania has decreased. We know the deaths are down here in Butler County. Think people get complacent about this? They think it's no longer a problem when it really is?
I think that perception is reality, and the perception as I see it is it's a major problem. One death is too many. One overdose that leads to the ripping apart of a family is too many, and I think that anything that we can do to prevent that is important. And I can tell you that I was recently at a very large meeting with Congressman Kelly that he held for all the members of our area, and the new federal prosecutor was there, and he agreed with us. This is not even remotely done. It comes in waves. It always has. And every little downturn is usually because, quite honestly, a lot of the customers aren't with us any longer. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how it should be looked at. So any help, especially what this Community Watch is doing, is a big deal for us. So we really appreciate it. We can't be everywhere, and anything that they give us, especially some of the things that has come in through this program, have been very beneficial to us.
Yes, and despite the reports that we hear about the fatal overdoses being down, we just had a big story a couple of weeks ago about a huge heroin bust on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. It was down, as I recall, it was down near Somerset, and it was one of the biggest drug busts ever on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, with an incredible amount of heroin found in a vehicle.
Yeah, and I think sometimes whenever we read and learn about incidents like that that take place outside of our community, we have a tendency sometimes to think, oh, it's out there, it's not in here. But it is in here. It's still in the city of Butler. Of course, that's the hat that I wear. Certainly, you know, all of Butler County, but my passion and my focus is the city of Butler. So that was the reason for the Neighborhood Drug Watch to revitalize, and it's a little different than, you know, our old Neighborhood Crime Watch, mm-hmm. although one kind of flows in with the other because drugs are crime. So whether you want to call it neighborhood drug, neighborhood crime, doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that we use that email address to help our police department, to be eyes and ears for them. And I believe recently there were some new information that was given to the department that was very beneficial. So it is working. And now we don't always hear about it. And sometimes that's a good thing that we don't hear about it, because it's moving things along.
I noticed on your website, you say, this is not a group. This is the whole community that
exactly.
you want to work together.
Exactly. I may be the voice. I have the signs, which I still have yard signs. I still have street signs. The community will notice I will not just go and put them anywhere. There has to be a request for that yard sign for in your yard, for that street sign that's on your street. Because I don't want to be the one that's, oh, I put that there. No, I want it to come from the community so that when you put that sign in your yard or on your street, you take a certain responsibility, and that responsibility is simply if you see something, you will say something. Or if somebody is looking for help, you know how to help them. Because it's not only about, you know, getting the bad guys, but it's about helping those who need help also.
What do these signs say exactly if people have never seen them?
The one that, when we first rolled this out about a year and a half ago, it has all kinds of information on it. You know, see help, or get help, be help. It had a state number. It was very busy. And kind of revamped it so that I'm a big advocate of simple was better. So the signs that I like to put out now are the red and yellow ones. I think they really pop. No matter, these are your yard signs. Mm-hmm. They really pop wherever you put them, but it simply says, see something, say something, do something. And then underneath that is that email address, that communityrelations@butlercitypd.com. That's it. And it's just a constant reminder that if any one of those three, you know, just see it, say it, do it.
Chief Bob O'Neill, do the police appreciate these tips from people? It's not a bother for you? You like to get them?
It's not a bother. It's exactly what we want. And that email is monitored Lieutenant Rensel monitors it. We also have two drug task force officers that monitor it. And the information is given out quickly to the other officers. And a lot of times, information that's given on these type of tip lines may be something that, you know, we've heard about, or maybe, you know, well, there's activity in such and such place. These help us narrow us down to an address, a specific car, a specific person. And the devil's in the details. The more that you can give us, you know, the better it is for us. So just saying a blue car comes every Tuesday on the corner, it's great to get as much information as you possibly can, share it with us, and we welcome everything from the community that we could possibly get. Any tips they can get us, you know, that's the best way to get it to us. And if you want contacted, we'll contact you. If you don't, we'll take the information and do what we can with it.
So what would be another sort of a tip? I see people going in and out of this same house at odd hours on a regular basis.
Well, I know recently I got a tip from, you know, what we refer to as a confidential informant. Now, people refer to confidential informants as they think that's some seedy person who's got arrested for something or whatever, but Joe the barber could be my confidential informant. He could be an upstanding citizen who wants to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And he can say, hey, I work across from, you know, this place, and there's a guy that comes in here with not a state plate, and as soon as he pulls in, he goes in there, and for like the next hour, 20 people come in and out. Well, that doesn't happen in my house. I'm sure it doesn't happen at your houses. Yeah, so yeah. There's probably, you know, an odd thing occurring in there. It's at least enough for us to go over and investigate. And that's what we're asking. We're asking for the regular person who lives on a nice street, which we just had one of these the other day. It said, you know, there's a car that's parked here. It doesn't belong. The people are going over where we think there's drug activity. I mean, that's not enough for us to make an arrest, but it's enough for us to focus our attention on that area and perhaps find a criminal activity. Or find out, hey, everything's good there. Call up Joe homeowner and say, you know what, actually, here's what's going on. And alleviate your fears. Because sometimes it really is just normal behavior, and sometimes it's aberrant behavior, which that's, you know, what we're needed for.
I've noticed in some of the news stories that we've had here on WISR over the past couple of years, sometimes this seems to take place in parking lots. A parking lot of a convenience store or something like that, where a car will pull in, and apparently it's a known dealer, and tips on that are welcome as well, right?
Absolutely. Prior to working in the city of Butler, I did drug task force work for the bulk of my career. And I can tell you that where other parts of the county are, it's not house work. It's not like inner city how it is here. A lot of times it's just people meeting in cars, you know, Walmart parking lot or, you know, drugstore parking lot, whatever, and they do it, and it's quick. But if you work at that store, that hardware store, whatever, or that gas station, you notice the same person coming, and this is behavior. Just pick up the phone and get on the email, send it to us, and we'll be there.
Yeah. And even if it's a busy parking lot, like you said, Walmart or Sheets or Get-Go or AM/PM or something like that, you know, if it's the same car,
right?
on a regular basis, that should be a red flag to anybody that works there, anybody that's there on a regular basis. Hey, what can it hurt?
Exactly.
Send an email and say, you might want to check this out. Might be nothing, but you might want to check it out.
Right. And the email is there for convenience, because, you know, most folks today are using email with their smartphones, whatever. But that does not mean that you cannot still call 911. If it's more convenient for you to call 911, even though it's not an emergency, you simply say, hey, you know, this is Kat, you know, I'm calling, I need the police department. This is not an emergency, but, and they will convey the information to the department, if that's more convenient for you. We try to set it up that whatever is convenient for our resident, so that we can keep those lines of communication going and flowing between the police department and the community. And I can't stress enough, and it's only because of the conversations that I have in the community, that I will have residents that will say, well, I emailed them and nothing ever happened. Please, you have to understand, they could be connecting dots. You know, it might be too premature for anything to happen, you know, but so don't let that deter you because you don't get an immediate response, whether it be at your business or your home or the parking lot or convenience store, whatever, because it does take time. It's like putting a puzzle together sometimes.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Neighborhood Drug Watch program in the city of Butler. Kathy Klein is here. She was one of those who spearheaded the start of this drug watch, and we're also pleased to be able to chat with the city police chief here in Butler, Bob O'Neill. Take a quick break. A couple of more questions for our guests. One of our sponsors on the program today is Miller Shoes, right in the heart of downtown Butler, 215 South Main Street, now celebrating 126 years in business. Can you imagine that? 126 years. Boy, you talk about staying power, huh? Miller Shoes. Listen, they're your local headquarters for SAS Comfort Shoes. I don't know whether you've ever had a pair of these shoes, SAS Comfort Shoes. They're like bedroom slippers. I mean, they are really, really comfortable. They're also made in America, and there are not too many shoes that are made in the USA anymore. Also, SAS Comfort Shoes makes sandals, and they're just as comfortable as their shoes. So here we are now on the cusp of summer. They've got sandals in a variety of styles and colors. Stop in to Miller's. Try a pair on, maybe a couple. You'll also find athletic shoes for all members of the family there, all the famous name brands. Miller's has them all, Nike, New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, ProPet, all under one roof. You don't have to go three or four different places. Miller's Shoes, you'll find tremendous selection, great fit, a good bargain price, and a big smile from Jimmy Ciprian and the Ciprians, too. Miller's Shoes at 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. One of our other sponsors is Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They're located in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. That's right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants there on Newcastle Road. Yeah, you know where it is. What do? They package your items for shipping. How convenient is that? You don't have to hunt around for the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels or that special tape. They do it all for you. Just take your items there. They package them up and ship them out any way you want. U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, UPS, that's your choice. Other services available at Gone Postal Butler, copying, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there. They even have an official notary. They're open Monday through Friday. It's your friendly neighborhood shipping center, Going Postal Butler. And a question for Police Chief Bob O'Neill with regard to what Kathy Klein was talking about building a case. It does take time sometimes. I recall a news story we had within the past 3 or 4 weeks where there was an arrest. And you have to build a case. You have to make sure that whenever this goes to court, you've got enough evidence that it's not going to be tossed out. Otherwise, you're wasting your time, right, Chief?
That is correct. I will say, though, that quick tips, especially from 911, have produced just as big a cases sometimes as the long-term cases because, just like everyone else, bad guys tend to get complacent. And if they keep doing the same thing over and over again and someone notices it and they make that call, you know, responding officer, I know Lieutenant Grooms just had a very big arrest just, you know, based on his seeing something that looked out of place at a certain time, you know, probably because he's been doing this a long time here, and he was able to act on it and made it, you know, a great drug arrest. And I think, you know, it would probably take a month to put that same case together that he was able to do just because and he was quick acting and well thought out. But cases, especially in houses, do take time. You know, we need to do certain things to make sure that we don't just arrest people, but that they, you know, get convicted of the crime that we arrest them for.
Yeah, if you don't get a conviction, then
what's the use?
What's the purpose? What's the big drug these days? Is it still heroin? I can remember years ago when crack cocaine was the big story. And most recently it's been heroin. Is that still, and fentanyl, which is even
right.
deadly heroin. Is that still the big thing?
I think the best way to say it is a generic term is would be heroin, even though most heroin now was laced with fentanyl or even perhaps carfentanil or so many other things, which again, to me, is why I could never imagine using illegal drugs, because you have no idea what you're getting.
Yeah.
And, you know, one or two doses of that, even we're talking nanograms per milliliter, can kill you, can kill a large person. I mean, it's the tiniest speck of some of those drugs can and will kill you. Just you see on the news, officers consistently are getting overcome by these mm-hmm. things. I mean, it's even the way we package it and send it to the labs to get tested, is everything's changed because it's poison. I mean, we know no drugs are poison, but these are killers, and people are intentionally ingesting them. I still say, until I hear different, it's the generic heroin, which can be fentanyl, carfentanil, and heroin. That is the main problem. That's what people are dying from. We don't have people dying from usually anything other than that.
Can you still test for that on the street like you could for crack cocaine or for marijuana or something, or is it just too dangerous to mess with?
We don't test any of that any longer, for the most part. It all needs to be sent away.
I see.
And what I again would caution people is, we get these alerts. Other drugs are tainted with other things. I mean, there's people that are using marijuana. I mean, unless you grow that marijuana, you have no idea where that came from. It can also be tainted with all sorts of things, because that's what they do. They mix. Everybody's looking for the next best thing because they want to sell their product. So if they start mixing and moving and all this other stuff, you know, you really just don't know what you're getting. There's no regulation over it. So I'd be cautious with all of it. But obviously heroin is, and all opiates right now are our main concern.
Do you ever find many people growing marijuana plants in the city of Butler?
I personally haven't, but over the years I've been part of many large-scale drug operations. And the main part thing with that is you know, there's so much money there. I mean, they make so much money off of them, and they poison the soil. And it's, I know we're all saying it's going to happen, it's going to regulate, but according to the U.S. Attorney, it's illegal. As far as we're concerned, it's illegal. So until it's legal,
that's
be careful.
A very strange situation for law enforcement in the states that have now legalized marijuana for recreational use, Colorado, I think Washington, Oregon, I don't know, maybe a handful of other ones. It's very strange because from a law enforcement standpoint, the federal government still says it's illegal.
And our lieutenant governor is basically doing a state long run on do we want to legalize it or not, and he's clearly in favor of it. If it comes, it comes, but it needs to be, we need to have the laws in place that we know how to enforce it. And we're not making the laws, we're just enforcing them, so we'll do what the legislature tells us.
City Police Chief Bob O'Neill, we're going to let the chief go because he has another commitment here. Chief, we appreciate you stopping by and chatting with us today.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We need one quick break here. I have a few more questions for Kathy Klein. We'll be back on the It's Your Turn program right after these words.
Butler Health System is a top 100 hospital for getting Doug back to playing with his grandkids and managing his farm.
For ensuring that Craig made it to his daughter's college graduation.
For helping Ray travel to Europe to visit his family.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide nationally recognized care. But more importantly, we know why we have to.
Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
Well, Mr. 60's here. I gotta tell you about a fantastic event happening at the Tanglewood Entertainment Center Saturday, May 25th. It's the Mr. 60's Rock and Roll Oldies All Request Dance Party. Let me take you back in time to those sock hops in the gym. I'm going to be playing your favorite songs from the 50s, 60s, and 70s by request. All you have to do is dance the night away. Dust off your poodle skirts and leather jackets and join me and Chef George on Saturday, May 25th for an evening of fun and great food. Doors open at 6 p.m., buffet dinner at 7, and dancing starts at 8 o'clock. As always, BYOB will have a 50-50 drawing and giveaways. Tickets are only $20 each. Be there or be square, as they used to say. That's Saturday, May 25th at the Tanglewood Entertainment Center. For tickets and more info, call 724-287-0021.
Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler can answer your questions about cremation. Is it appropriate for your loved ones? Should there be a funeral service? Keep in mind that even with cremation, it is time to celebrate how meaningful and important was the life of your loved one. Is cremation appropriate for your family? How would they feel about it? And what's the cost? Cremation has three advantages: simplicity, convenience, and it's local. The Thompson Miller Cremation Program is right here in Butler at our newly created facility. We assure you that your loved one will never leave our care at any point in the process. So let's talk it over privately right here at Thompson Miller in Butler. Call us at 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or online at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller, at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Welcome back. We're chatting about the Neighborhood Drug Watch program here in the city of Butler. We like to get an update on it every so often to make sure that it's still ongoing, and Kathy Klein says indeed it is. By the way, if somebody wants one of these signs they could put up in their yard, mm-hmm. How much do they cost?
They cost nothing. The signs that I have are still from a sponsorship I received the latter part of last year from the Elks Lodge. Mm-hmm. So I still have signs that are sponsored. They're absolutely nothing. If you would like a sign for in your yard or your business, because they can be put in windows also, just simply call 724-355-0775.
And once again, what's the email? We were talking about this with the mm-hmm. chief when he was here. People see something that looks a little suspicious, or even if they're not sure, they'd like to have the police check it out. What's the email address for those tips?
That is communityrelations@butlercitypd.com.
Communityrelations@butlercitypd.com.
Mm-hmm.
And as we heard the chief say, they welcome these tips.
They absolutely do. And I really would like to take the opportunity real quick to thank our first responders, the police and the fire department, as we just heard Chief O'Neill talk about how dangerous some of these drugs are. And these guys go out when a call comes and they don't know what they are going to be dealing with, that they really do put their lives at stake. And I certainly do appreciate all that they do in continuing to work with Neighborhood Drug Watch.
Yes, and you're right to mention the firefighters and the paramedics, too, from Butler
yes.
Ambulance Service, because they're out several times a week. They get these, hardly a day goes by, actually,
exactly.
that they don't get one of these calls, somebody unresponsive, and, they can administer the Narcan and revive them. But as the chief said, especially with this fentanyl and carfentanil, tiny speck.
Exactly.
With a responder, a paramedic or a firefighter or a police officer, and they can become very seriously ill.
Well, yeah, that carfentanil, remember they spoke a couple years ago about how it just gets on the skin and it's absorbed in your skin. It's not something that you even have to ingest. So
you're right. They're putting their lives
absolutely.
On the line.
Absolutely. They are.
We thank them. Well, thanks for the update, Kathy. We appreciate and keep us posted.
I will. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and good to see you, too.
Good to see you.
Well, that wraps up our program for today and for the week, as a matter of fact. Well, by the way, we will not have an It's Your Turn program on Monday. Many times we have a special holiday edition, but because the Pirates are playing a doubleheader in Cincinnati on Memorial Day, we're going to have Pirate Baseball all afternoon long on Monday. So we will see you on Tuesday. Have a good holiday weekend. I'm Dave Malarkey. We'll see you then.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
The sunset is